After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. It was this year that we had the funeral for Queen Elizabeth II. And it was quite a shock just to find out how many people had watched it. It's very difficult to accurately predict these things, but the figures that I read was that there was 4 billion people watching the Queen's funeral. That's got to be the biggest funeral, hasn't it? 4 billion people. That's over half the population of the world. 2,000 dignitaries attended, including world leaders, kings and queens from across the world. Why was this such a global event? Why was it so important for them to be there? There was something about her. Something about her as a person. It wasn't that they just wanted to be on the front page of the paper that they'd been to the Queen's funeral. I think they really wanted to be there to honor her life. But as we remember her life, we remember that she pointed to us at Christmas time about another person. She said in Christmas broadcast in 2012, "This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only son to serve and not to be served." And in 2014, she said, "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor to my life." And Fiona, when she was standing here a few minutes ago, said the same thing in her own words, that he can be an anchor for us through these really difficult times that we're living in. Do you have an anchor for your life? Now, I'm delighted you're here tonight, because I thought you'd be watching the World Cup final. And we thought, should we change the time of the service? We said, no, we're not going to change the time of the service. What if it goes to penalties, people asked. It went to penalties. And Argentina won. Did you know that? And when I was watching this event of global significance, I didn't watch it. I asked the guys at the back, tell me the score. They came running up 1 minute to six. Argentina won. All through the World Cup, they've been talking about somebody, haven't they? Argentina's star, Lionel Messi. And at one point they said that he is the guiding star of Argentina. And in another match they said that he is the savior of Argentina. And while we're praising these carols here tonight, they're probably praising the savior, Messi, all over Argentina tonight. But I heard a poem a few days ago by a Welshman. And he talked about not Messi, but he talked about the mess that we're all in. He talked about the mess that Jesus stepped into on that first night of his life here on earth. And I thought I could talk to you about the mess rather than about the messy. But I don't want to stay in with the negatives. Because after we talk about the mess, we'll talk about the message. The message to that the angels gave to the shepherds. And then about the Messiah. So about the mess and the message and the Messiah, but not Lionel Messi. So I hope you won't be disappointed if I don't mention him again. So what is the world in a mess tonight? Is the world in a mess? I was doing a bit of research, and I thought, what do all the world organizations say at this turning point in world history? The World Trade Organization says the picture for 2023 has darkened considerably. Global trade will decrease sharply as countries face a multi-pronged crisis. We're heading for a financial crisis. What about David Attenborough? What would he say? He would say that we're heading for an ecological crisis. What would the World Wildlife Fund say about all the endangered species? What about the World Food Program? What they're saying tonight is that the world is facing a food crisis of unprecedented proportions, the largest in modern history. As many as 828 million people go hungry to bed every night. Incredible, isn't it? And it's got worse recently because of 60% of the hunger problems are through war, climate change, the after effects of the COVID pandemic, and food costs have gone through the roof. Do you know that the World Food Program's budget, the amount of money they need, the costs of food have gone up, they've said, by 44%. 44%. That they, in 2022, wanted to raise $22 billion to feed 160 million people. $22 billion to feed 160 million people. And the Qatar World Cup cost 10 times how much they wanted to feed 160 million people. So the Qatar World Cup was $220 billion it cost, and $22 billion is how much they tried to raise for starvation this year. Is the world in a mess? And it's very easy for me to talk about this, but I'm certainly not judging anybody because I know the selfishness of my own life. I know the blind spots. It's very easy to talk about it. It's another thing what you're going to do with the information that you have. In fact, there's more responsibility on those of us who have more information. We'll be judged by what we do with what we know. It was a famous novelist, G.K. Chesterton, and he was responding to a letters page in the Times. They said, we want you to write in with your responses to the question, what's gone wrong with the world? And people wrote in these letters with great explanations as to what was wrong with the world. And he just wrote a very short letter, "Dear Sir, I am." That I am part of the problem. The selfishness in this world is something that's going on inside me and not just something that's happening out there. If you want to know what causes the mess, the Bible tells us that it goes back to the fact that we have turned our backs on God, that we're not listening to Him anymore, that He has got the solutions for us. He's got the love. He's got the way to live. But we don't listen to Him. Just like our parents in that Garden of Eden, we doubt that God has the answer. So we take the thing into our own hands and we live in our own way, independent from God. And that's why the world is in such a mess. And the Bible calls that sin. And that willful rebellion against God not only messes up human relationships, it has consequences for all the world that we were supposed to be stewards and rulers over. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. And the world's in this complete mess. You might have different views to me, but I think all of us would agree the world's in crisis and human beings are in crisis. Do we even know what truth is anymore, or do we just make it up as we go along? But the truth that I want to bring to you tonight is the truth from this book and about the one who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So if that's the mess, what is the message? What is the message of this book? What is the message of Christmas? And it's the message that the angels gave to these shepherds. Do not be afraid. The world may be in a mess, but do not be afraid, because I bring to you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. A sign for you is that this Savior who is born to you, you will see Him lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that must have really impacted these shepherds, because yes, you can have good news, but good news for all the people, good news for everyone, that everyone's included, that is truly good news. Good news for people who are new to this, for people who have heard it before but basically walked away, who gave up on their faith years ago. It's good news because God is welcoming. God is forgiving. God is gracious. God is generous. And God loves us so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the message. And it's about a Messiah. These magi, they came from all over the world. And again, that tells us it's not just for all kinds of people, whatever their economic conditions are, rich and poor, but it's also for people of all races, all cultures. Yes, they're looking for the King of the Jews, but they're also recognizing that the King of the Jews is their King too. He's the one that God has sent And through this Jesus, all nations will be blessed. That was the promise to Abraham. That's fulfilled in Jesus. Now, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, there was a sign above his head. And it was in three languages. It was in Hebrew. It was in Greek, which was the international language of the day. And it was in Latin. And it said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." But when he died on that cross, he died for everyone. Because the Bible says that for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So it wouldn't be good news if the bad news was all have sinned and the good news was some may be rescued. No, it's all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but all may be saved. All may be rescued. All may be forgiven. All may come into this life with him. And it is a wonderful, wonderful life. It's quite nerve-wracking to stand at the front and tell people what's happened to you this year. Fiona was really courageous to come up here and to share. But she said tonight that she experienced the presence of God. She just said, "This is God. I can experience God. God with me. Jesus, the one in the story, becomes real in our everyday lives." You see, Jesus, who came to sort out the mess, who didn't stay remote, who came into the mess, and who took all the evil upon himself, as he took the penalty in our place. He took the penalty in our place. Just got the World Cup in my head at the moment. All these penalties. Get confused. But there's somebody who never missed the penalty. And that was Jesus. He took it 100%. And what he did on the cross sets us free forever. If we trust in what he has done for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Living under this King, the King for all people, the King forever. And that's why at Christmas time we can rejoice, because he is in charge and he is sorting everything out and he's coming back again. The Lord is reigning. Let the earth rejoice. That is what God wants to give us this Christmas, a fresh perspective on joy and where joy is to be found. If you want to remain king of your own life, then maybe you can switch back on to the highlights and see what you can get out of the World Cup, that event of global significance. But you might end up like Ronaldo, who's got everything. He's got all the beautiful women. He's got all the money. And he's the second best footballer in the world. And he's so unhappy. Have you seen him? He's so unhappy. He's got everything this world can offer, but he's so unhappy. He doesn't need counseling. He needs the wonderful counselor. But we know where true joy is to be found. And it's to be found in this child Jesus who grew up to be a man, to be our Savior, the Savior of the world. It says in John's Gospel, to all who received him, by putting our faith and trust in him, by asking him to forgive us for going our own way, for being our own king, asking him to forgive us and then trusting him for what he has done for us and asking him to be the king of our lives. And to all who pray like that, he never turns anyone away. And then we experience his presence. Then we experience his help, his guidance. He becomes the Lord who is our shepherd. So I encourage you to pray with me now. Let's pray. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you came because you love us and you love this world that you created. Although it's in a terrible mess, you have not given up on us. Thank you that you paid the penalty. You died on the cross that all sins may be forgiven and that we may have a fresh start and that we may live our lives under your authority, on your guidance, trusting in your word. Lord, we want to ask you to come into our lives tonight and to take our hand and lead us as our Lord into 2023. Thank you that you are gracious and compassionate. Thank you that you don't turn anyone away. And we praise you and we rejoice at all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.